Welcome back to Target Field in Minneapolis, and we're getting a look at the weather radar here, and wow, is there some ugly coming in. We have no word on anything yet. It is raining, but lightly. The tarp is on the field. The game is scheduled to start in 3 minutes, but obviously the tarp on the field, that's not going to happen. Now we have an official rain delay, as it says on the big giant scoreboard here in left center field at Target Field. The game is officially in a rain delay, and that means we are officially in the rain delay program. And when that happens, the floor is yours. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. This is the Blue Jays' only visit into Minneapolis this year, into Minnesota. So they'll try really hard to get it in. If they don't get it in, chances are, and again, this is just speculation on my part, nothing official, but chances are if they don't get it in, there will be a doubleheader tomorrow as opposed to the doubleheader on the Sunday travel day. And we will bring it all to you here along the Blue Jays radio network. But when we're in a rain delay, the rain delay program comes to the fore. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. The rain delay programs are always an extra bit of fun because phone lines are open at a time when the phone lines generally aren't open. We can get into some really cool conversation about stuff that might not ordinarily come up. And so you're more than welcome to give us a call. And if you're one of those who generally can't get through on the post game, this might be a good time for you to call as well. So we'll have your calls. Joe Sicilia is there, and he's going through the calls that are coming in. And as soon as he's finished dealing with you, he'll send you over to me. But there are a couple of lines still open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. And also the added benefit of me being here at the ballpark during a rain delay. And I believe this is the second rain delay that I've ever been a part of at the ball game on a radio broadcast. The other one was Tom Young's first ever game at Yankee Stadium, a rain delay that turned into a rain out on opening day 2007? 2008. This is Tom's fifth year. So opening day 2008, we had a two-hour rain delay that wound up being a rain out. We hope to have baseball tonight, and again, we will keep you posted. And they're showing the Rays and the Orioles on the big screen here in Minnesota. That's kind of cool. I don't understand why Twins fans would be all into this, but maybe it's because it's a big spot in the game, top of the fourth inning and two out. Bases loaded for the Rays, who lead the Orioles at this point in time 2-1. If this rain delay continues for a long time, we've got some fun and games we can have for you. We've got some good guests. Part of the good thing about having me at the ballpark is I can walk over to the press box and bring somebody over here. We may get a chance to have Buck Martinez. Mark Zwolinski of the Toronto Star is here. Mike Rutsey of the Toronto Sun. So we'll talk to some people. Also, for those of you along the Blue Jays radio network who didn't get to hear the pregame show, the early pregame show on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, I spoke to Reggie Deal, who is a blind man who is doing a tour of all 30 Major League ballparks in 30 days, and he's doing it by himself. And it was an extraordinary conversation. And as this rain delay continues, we'll get a chance to hear that conversation that I had with Reggie, who's in Minnesota today, and who will be in Toronto next Friday for the Jays and the Mets, the first of that three-game series. The Blue Jays in Minnesota for three more games, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. And then they're home for a week, two with the Rays, two with the Yankees, three with the Mets. Carlos Pena was hit by a pitch by Dana Eveland, who's making his Orioles debut. And anyone who actually believes that the Baltimore Orioles are going to be a factor in the race in the American League East, Dana Eveland is pitching for the Baltimore Orioles tonight. in the opener of a series against the Tampa Bay Rays, a team with which they're tied for first place. Honestly, that's enough. No? Is that not enough to tell you that Baltimore's not going to be in the race? That should be enough. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It is the rain delay show. It is raining here. Not hard, but hard enough that everybody is taking cover and people are no longer in their seats here at Target Field. But as we saw on the weather radar, the big stuff's coming. It looks as though it might get really ugly in a hurry here in Minneapolis. But again, I'm here at the ballpark so I can give you constant weather updates. And I can take your phone calls. And we're going to start with Peter in St. Catharines. What better way to start the rain delay program listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Peter, welcome aboard.
Thanks for that. Very lovely of you.
Sorry, say it again, Peter?
Oh, yeah, Mike, that was a very lovely intro. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Yes, first of all, I just want to say, Mike, you're doing a great job on the call, on the play-by-play. And Alan
Thank
Ashby
you
doing,
very much.
And Alan Ashby is also doing a bang-up job on the television side as well.
Yeah, I expect nothing less. Alan Ashby is a spectacular broadcaster, so I expect he's doing a great job on TV. Obviously, I haven't gotten a chance to hear anything.
Yeah, I've heard both your calls and tremendous. Good stuff. Now, I want to get to a question. I have been wondering, I've been hearing this phrase, and I've heard Alan Ashby, I've heard Greg Zahn, and Buck and others have mentioned the term pitching to contact.
Yes.
Explain what that means.
Well, it means not trying to throw the ball through everyone, but trying to throw a quality strike that's going to get a swing and that's going to get the ball put in play.
Okay.
And that can either be using a hard sinker to try to get a bunch of ground balls, which is what Henderson Alvarez does so brilliantly.
Right.
Or it can be, using a big ballpark. And if you're a fly ball pitcher, giving up a bunch of fly balls because you know that you're in a big enough park that's going to hold most of them.
Okay. Well, very good. That's very good, and I appreciate you answering my question. And once again, tremendous job, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this series.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it a lot. Always good to hear feedback. It is, such an incredible opportunity that I've been given here to fill in for Alan Ashby and do the play-by-play. 27 games this year. The first three have gone by, and it's just been, I hope you're enjoying it. All of you out there in listener land, I am just enjoying the heck out of it. And it's more than a dream come true. And it's especially cool, I have to say, that in my innings in these three games, the Blue Jays have outscored the opposition 9-1. That's been a lot of fun. Shay is in Kitchener, tuned in on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Shay, welcome to the rain delay program.
Hey, Mike. I'd just like to say, all these trade talks with Philly, I was just curious on your opinion. Everybody's talking about maybe Cole Hamels or Shane Victorino or something. My question is, Mike, is what about Roy Halladay? It seems like Philly may not be competing this year, and that's what Roy wants. And, Toronto would open their arms up and bring him back again. What's your thought on that? I don't know. I was thinking about it, and I love the Jays, and he's kind of everything the Jays need, a veteran presence. And he taught the young guys a lot already. I'm just curious your opinion on it.
All right. Well, first of all, and I don't want to be a wet blanket, but there have been no trade talks with the Philadelphia Phillies. None. It's a simple matter of...
I've heard about it all day.
I know, and it's rumors flying around, and you would think that people would have learned by now. Alex Anthopoulos has been the GM almost 3 years.
Absolutely.
Every time you hear a rumor, that means it's not happening. If you hear that something's been done or something's close to done or they're, final stages of whatever, then chances are that's true. But if you hear a rumor, that's not happening. And what Alex Anthopoulos does is he's always in contact with everybody. And he's always talking to all the teams and all the general managers. And chances are, I'm sure this isn't made up, but chances are Alex phoned Ruben Amaro Jr., who's the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, as he probably does reasonably often, and says, look, if you're getting to a point where you're going to start to think about moving people, keep me in mind. I want to be in that conversation. I don't want you to trade guys without talking to me, because I can make you a really good offer for people in whom I'm interested. And I believe, honestly, that that's the extent of any of the communication that's happened. There have been no offers made. There's been no negotiation back and forth. The Phillies certainly are not ready to pull the plug on their season. They're 5.5 games out of first place. So everybody's really, really getting ahead of themselves.
But what do you think of opinion of a trade scenario like that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, how could you not want Roy Halladay back? How could you not want Roy Halladay back? You're absolutely right. I mean, the Blue Jays' starting pitching has been really, really good for them this year.
Amazing.
Yeah, but if you're looking to try to add one of the best pitchers in baseball, absolutely you do it. But I don't think that Halladay is yet at the point where he wants out of Philly, and he's still locked up there another 3 seasons after this one, I think. And the reason they might be considering talking about Cole Hamels is, A, he's going to be a free agent after the season, and, 2, they would likely get some good young pitching to replace him from the Blue Jays in a trade, and that's one of the reasons that this gets people so excited. But I mean, we're not even close to a point in time where the Phillies are going to be ready to make that kind of deal, or whether there's even been any serious negotiations going on.
Well, that's great, Mike. Thanks a lot for your opinion. I can always listen to you, so, and always talk Jays talk with you.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very much. It is raining here in Minnesota. It appears to be looking out at center field, I can see the rain, and so that, to me, makes me think that this is a steady rain coming down. We're not getting any puddles on the warning tracks yet, or even on the tarp. And the tarp doesn't look like it's being pounded either by rain. So it may not be that heavy. But again, heavier stuff is coming. And the tarp is on the field. The wind is blowing in from left field. This is the first time I've ever been in Minneapolis, so I have no idea what direction that is, whether it's north, south, east, or west. But it is blowing in from left field and hard across the field. So it is definitely unpleasant. And again, we may be in for some serious stuff coming up, and that's why this game hasn't started yet. And because it hasn't started yet, we are on the rain delay program. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Tony is in Milton. It is the rain delay program. The floor is yours. Welcome aboard, Tony.
Yeah, thanks a lot. First time caller.
All right, thanks for coming out of the closet.
I was after work. I was sitting around, beautiful day in Milton, having a few pops. We're talking about the Blue Jays with my buddy Mike Mango in Milton. Anyways, big conversation piece was, I've never seen a shift like Brett Laurie has been doing, switching into right field. In 92-93, you know, watching the Jays, never seen that. I can't recall when I've seen that before. Any indication who started this or when the trend to third base and behind second base or right field?
Well, the shift has been on like that for a long time. I mean, they did that against Ted Williams. They put a shift on like that against Ted Williams. So it's been happening for a long time. It has become more and more prevalent, I guess, in the last 5 or 6 years when we've started to see spray charts come into a lot more use by major league teams. So, you know, you see it all the time with David Ortiz. The Blue Jays do it to Matt Joyce. They've done it here to Ryan Domet. They do it, I don't know if they do it to Curtis Granderson or not, but they do it to all the big left-handed pull hitters. The difference with what the Blue Jays do, like you said, is pulling Brett Laurie over from third base and putting him into short right field. In previous years, the Blue Jays have moved Aaron Hill. When he was at second base, he would be the guy who played in short right. The shortstop would move over to cover where the second baseman usually is, and the third baseman would go over and play shortstop. But John Farrell has 2 things in mind when he uses this shift with Brett Laurie, and the first thing is that Laurie is a great athlete, and he's comfortable all over the field. The second thing is he wants to disturb as few people as possible. So he doesn't move Yunel Escobar. He keeps him at shortstop. He doesn't move Kelly Johnson. He keeps him where a normal second baseman would go. And he puts Laurie in that spot in either short right field, deep right field, whatever. And he played both last night. But, yeah, this is not a new construct, but it's been very cool to see Laurie really kind of make that rover spot his own. And he's made diving plays, and he's made great throws, and he's done a great job in that shift.
I guess it's important, too, for the pitcher to be, like Alvarez, to be that athletic, to be picking up that ball as well. That's important as well.
Well, it's always helpful, and you can't always count on that. And you're breaking up on me a little, Tony, so I got to let you go, but I appreciate the call. You certainly can't count on your pitcher being able to field his position brilliantly, and it seems like it's really tough to teach, too. But it's pretty awesome that the Blue Jays have a couple of guys who are that good at fielding their position. We're in a rain delay. It appears to have stopped raining for now, but like I said, we saw that radar, and there was a small window of nothing, and then some powerful big ugly stuff. If they're waiting out the big ugly stuff, I'm not quite sure why. Maybe they think it's going to be brief. We'll try to see if we can find our own weather radar here on which we can keep our eye, and so that we can get this game started at some point in time. Right now, it's been a 13-minute rain delay here in Minneapolis. The tarp still on the field and no indication as to a first pitch time. Back to the phones we go. Lars is in Vancouver listening on the Team 1410. Lars, welcome to the Rain Delay program.
Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm in a baseball stadium. I'm in a rain delay, which is less than ideal. But, you know, where else would you rather be?
Well, I'm sure you could be in Vancouver and experience a little bit of rain, that's for sure.
Yeah, you guys used to that, huh?
Yeah, we got a few rainouts on the field for sure. Hey, I just called about the closer role, and I do like to switch to Casey Jansen. However, it is still a tough spot for any reliever to throw in there. You and I both know, as a closer role, you got to have that swing and miss stuff, and Casey's great at pitching a contact. He keeps the ball down, but I do think it's important that he's going to have to learn to walk somebody and not give in, because at the end of the day, he's not pitching in the 6th, 7th, or 8th, and they don't have any time to make up a one-run game or a bomb after that, so... you know, I think the next 2 weeks are going to be real telling if Casey can hold the fort maybe for five to six games. It's going to happen where he blows one because somebody's going to lose one on him. But at the end of the day, I think it's important for the Jays to get Santos back and have that power arm to throw strike three and strike somebody out. So right now they don't have in the bullpen. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't agree completely that you have to have swing and miss stuff in order to be an effective closer. There have been closers in the past who don't just simply come in and blow people away. Casey only gave up 2 home runs all year last year, and he's already given up 3 now, which is a little weird, but, you know, he may be done. And I kind of feel like mathematical progression-wise, the Blue Jays aren't going to blow any more saves this year anyway. They blew 4 in their first 16 games, and then they blew 2 more in their next 16 games. So they're allowed 1 more. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe they blew 3. I might have the math wrong, which would suck. But anyway, I'll check that out and make sure of things. I have complete confidence in Casey Jansen. I think that when he's been healthy, he has been among the best relievers in baseball. And he's only had 2 fully healthy seasons, but those 2 seasons have really been terrific. And, he's not going to blow people away, but he still did have more than a strikeout per inning last year. The idea that you might have to walk somebody instead of, you know, throwing the fastball and the fastball count, well, that depends on who the guy is, for one, and where the game is, for another thing. If you've got a one-run game, then you don't really want to put the tying run on base. But hopefully the offense starts to click and he doesn't have to go out there with just a one-run lead and he's got a little room for error. But I have no problem. I mean, he's the guy I would want holding the fort until Sergio Santos comes back.
Yeah, so what is the timeline? I agree. I mean, Jansen does do a good job of keeping the ball down, and obviously the cutter off-centers some barrels for sure, but, I mean, it sure would be nice to have Santos back because, definitely a big loss right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think the timeline is probably at least the end of the month, I think. I had thought it was going to be a lot sooner, but then the other day in Oakland, John Farrell said it's probably going to be 10 to 14 days until he gets into a minor league game. And from that point in time, you got to think it's, I don't know, 8 days. You give him an inning and then a day off and then an inning and then a day off and then two more days and then a day off and then you can bring him up once you see that he's good to go from a conservative standpoint. So I think end of the month, late May, that's when we're the likeliest to see Sergio Santos coming back. Thanks for the call. It is the rain delay program. We are in a rain delay here at Target Field in Minneapolis. The rain has doubled back on us and it is now coming down again. Still not looking at any puddling on the warning tracks. This is a brand new ballpark. This is the third season. So I assume that the drainage system is pretty terrific. But now we can see the rain kind of smacking down on the tarp. And while we're in a holding pattern. And while we're in a holding pattern, we bring you the rain delay program. And we're going to go to Matt in London, listening on AM 920. Matt, welcome to the rain delay show.
Hi. First of all, I just want to comment on the guy that wants to bring Roy back. And well, I love Roy. He's an awesome, awesome pitcher. He's just not the right temperament for this team. It's a young team. It's all about having fun. And Roy is exactly the opposite of that. He's just so dialed in that I think he would actually take us back. And it was part of the same problem when he left. It was just, he's not a true leader in the sense of being that ace that leads the team.
He may not be, but he's still one of the best pitchers in baseball. So temperament or not, I mean, and he is a guy who keeps to himself. He doesn't rock the boat or anything. He's not someone who's, you know, he just keeps to himself. And he goes out every 5 days and gives you a great ball game. I don't think anyone would have an issue with having Roy Halladay back on this team.
Anyway, the reason why I called, I was commenting on that guy, but I read an article on ESPN today talking about the ballparks and how they're so massive these days that, for example, Petco Park and the new Marlins Stadium, not New Marlins Stadium, whatever, what's the new one in Miami called?
Yeah, it's, what is it called? Oh, man.
The one in Miami.
They're not Landshark Stadium anymore.
Anyway, they're just so big that it can sometimes have a detriment to attracting free agents. And Toronto's had that same reputation as far as the AstroTurf going. But in that article, it was saying that Toronto's actually one of the best ones for home run hitters. Does that have any offset for that? Or do you really think that the AstroTurf outweighs any ability to hit home runs?
I've only heard of one free agent who hasn't come here because of the turf, and that was Carlos Beltran, but it was also a combination of the turf and the fact that he wasn't going to be, he was going to be asked to DH some as well. I know that Troy Gloss didn't love the turf. Scott Rowland probably wanted out because of the turf, but they're, you know, few and far between. I really think it doesn't matter because when you think back to the championship years, 92, 93, they were playing basically on a very thin carpet with concrete underneath. And Hall of Famers were lining up to come play in Toronto. So what it comes down to more than anything else, I believe, is if the team's in a position to win. And if the team's in a position to win, then free agents will come here no matter what. Pitchers will come to Toronto even though it's seen as a home run ballpark. And hitters are going to want to come. Regardless, winning is the only thing that makes those things happen.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. They are showing the Indians broadcast here on the Twins big scoreboard, the Red Sox and Indians. And there's a promotion for a Joe Carter bobblehead day in Cleveland. How about that? So they still love him, too. Joe Carter was a 30-30 man with the Cleveland Indians prior to his trade to San Diego. Which precipitated eventually his trade to the Blue Jays, where he became one of the all-time favorites here in Toronto. It is the rain delay program, and there are conflicting weather reports. It looks like one of the satellite pictures I was looking at showed like a thin band of rain that was moving away. Another showed a thin band with a big band behind it. The Weather Network says they don't expect any precipitation in Minneapolis tonight, which is hilarious because it's raining right now. So we're seeing what we can see, and Tom Young is on it too, trying to get the latest in the satellite pictures of Minneapolis and what's going on.
It's rained out.
What I can tell you is Tom's laptop's gotten rained out, but the game certainly hasn't yet. It is raining here at Target Field, and again, we've received no word from anyone as to the length of a delay, when to expect the first pitch, anything like that. We're only 22 minutes into this rain delay. Gordon is in Nova Scotia, listening on the new 95.7. Gordon, where in Nova Scotia are you? I know they have towns and cities there, too.
Yeah, I'm sitting in Kentville, Nova Scotia tonight.
Kentville, very nice. Welcome to the rain delay program.
Thank you. I listen whenever I can.
Excellent. What do you got for us?
I'm just wondering, I mean, I know the Jays, they got, right now the AAA team is in Vegas, and I know they sort of got stuck with Vegas. I don't know
yep.
if that's the nice way to put it or not.
No, that's
and,
the
you know,
truth.
And I've heard through the news and that they're trying to get their team back in the International League. And I'm just wondering
yes.
if you could comment maybe on sort of the contract they have with Vegas and what teams maybe are coming up for possible negotiations to bring that AAA team closer to Toronto. And maybe there's other situations in the minor league system, maybe with New Hampshire. I'm not familiar with their situation.
The Blue Jays love it in New Hampshire. They can't get enough of that place.
So that's a long-term thing there.
It appears to be that's going to be a long-term thing. I had heard kind of whispery rumors that that there was going to be a group that bought a team in Binghamton, New York, a double-A team, and that they were going to move that to, or no, a triple-A team in Binghamton, New York, and they were going to move that to New Hampshire and move New Hampshire's double-A team to Ottawa. But now I understand that's not going to happen. Pawtucket, Rhode Island, is too close to Manchester, New Hampshire, and the Pawtucket Red Sox are not interested in having another AAA team right around the corner. To me, that would have been ideal for the Blue Jays. The second best thing is if they have their AAA team in Buffalo. You know, they had a long relationship with Syracuse, and at the end it got pretty sour. The people in Syracuse didn't love the fact that the Blue Jays didn't really give them any good teams for a long time, and they couldn't wait to get the Blue Jays out of there. And I think at the time the Jays hoped that they could move to Buffalo, and this was 4 years ago, but the Mets swooped in and grabbed Buffalo, and when the music stopped, the Blue Jays were, like you said, Gordon, stuck in Las Vegas. The contract with the 51s is over after this season, and I cannot fathom the Blue Jays going back. It's such a tough place to develop people. The distance isn't that bad because there are nonstop flights from Las Vegas to Toronto several times a day. And you can get from Vegas to Toronto as quickly by air as you could get from Syracuse to Toronto by car. You know, it's just like an extra hour or something. So that's not that big a deal. The big deal is that it's a crappy ballpark, that it's an incredible hitting environment, that it's an awful pitching environment, and the Blue Jays don't want that. I've heard rumors that the Mets the Buffalo has not been thrilled with its relationship with the Mets, that it hasn't been quite what they thought it would be, and their contract is up as well this winter. So we may see that move. To me, that's the perfect fit. To have the Blue Jays AAA team in Buffalo, it wouldn't be any better than that.
So does it come down to the major league team having a lot of prospects and being able to sell that to the minor league affiliate? Because
that's part of it, for sure.
The negotiating system for this, I mean, as far as I understand, I mean, you can't talk about it until a certain date, and then it's like a game of musical chairs where it's just the last man standing ends in Vegas.
Well, I'm sure that people put feelers out, and, you know, I mean, even though you can't talk while they're under contract to somebody else, you hear things and you have, like, third-party contact, and and all that stuff to kind of keep it legal and still find out what you need to find out. But yeah, it's about the prospects you have, about the teams that you're willing to put in there, the support that you're willing to give, and ultimately it's the affiliates who wind up making the decision where they want to be, what team they want to sign with among the interested suitors. It's the minor league cities that tend to be the free agents, and I really do think that the Blue Jays can compete with anybody now as far as the minor league system that they're putting up. So that's, you know, they should be able to have their pick of the litter, and hopefully they wind up in Buffalo.
Okay, right on. Thanks a lot. I mean, that's nice to have cleared up. I mean, the idea of buying a minor league team with the wealth of your prospects. Cool.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate the call. Always nice to hear from those down east. 2 hours later there than it is here. We are in a rain delay in Minnesota. The Blue Jays and the Twins, the rains have slackened quite a bit. And you know what? I've looked at too many different weather radars and gotten completely opposite stories. So safe to say, I have no idea what's going to happen with the weather. It is cloudy. It is dark. But it's not like nighttime dark. It's dusky. It's probably still an hour before dusk. So the clouds are certainly helping that quite a bit. 7:38 Central Daylight Time here in Minnesota. So we're 28 minutes into a rain delay. We're going to step aside for a second, but more of your phone calls coming up. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. It's the rain delay program, the next best thing to Blue Jays baseball on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Target Field in Minneapolis. It is the rain delay program. I'm Mike Wilner. We should be playing a little Supertramp right now because it's raining again. It had backed off for a minute. Now it's coming down, and this is absolutely the right decision to not start this game on time, even though it wasn't raining at the time. We've had quite a few little downpours, and we're in the middle of another one right now. It's not pouring or anything, but it's certainly raining, and the game officially in a rain delay, and the big scoreboard here in left field at Target Field says exactly that. The game is officially in a rain delay, as though there were people here who were unaware of that. There's a big giant white plastic thing on the field and no baseball players, but you need to be reminded that the game is officially in a rain delay and that the first pitch is delayed. I'm Mike Wilner, and this is the Rain Delay Program. We're taking your calls, and a little bit later on, we will play for those of you across the network my conversation with Reggie Dean, who is doing a tour of all 30 major league ballparks in 30 days. Very cool. What makes it even cooler is that he's blind and he's doing this tour by himself. And it was a great conversation that I had with Reggie, and we'll play that for you at the top of the hour if we are still in the rain delay. Looking at Tom Young's official Minnesota weather radar, it seems like it is just a small band of showers that's moving through right now, heavy at times, and we're seeing the heavy at times right now. And there is a window. There is a window behind it. I'm going to zoom out. I'm touching Tom Young's laptop. It's the first time I've ever done this. It's a very, very exciting thing for me. Trying to zoom out to see that big band coming in behind it that I saw on the Minnesota television. And I'm not seeing that big band. So that's good news. This is live weather on the fly. And it looks like once this is out of here, this is out of here. So we may not be waiting that much longer. And hopefully we'll have baseball tonight. That would be swell. Right now, though, it is raining here at Target Field. We are taking your phone calls. The floor is yours. And we will hear from Reggie Dean at the top of the hour if we are still in the rain delay, which I'm assuming we will still be. But right now we go to the phones, and Marv is in Beamsville. Marv, welcome to the rain delay program.
Hey, Mike, thanks. We're just on our way back from Cooperstown. My son and I went down there today, and we were checking that out. You know, we were really disappointed at the Blue Jay display. I think all the teams, there's a lot more there for all the other teams, and the Blue Jay one was pretty empty. We were kind of disappointed. Like, nothing there about Halliday and his Cy Young, nothing about Delgado's four home runs and Carter in the World Series. You know, all of that stuff was omitted, and it was like, man, we got to get some more stuff in there.
Well, I'm sure there's a bat of Carlos Delgado's from the four home run game, and Joe, there must be a ton of stuff there from Joe Carter's walk-off homer in the World Series.
There's one section where there's like these lockers for every team.
Right, but there's another section there that kind of has a year-by-year sort of thing with artifacts.
You know, we never did see that bat. We took about 5 hours going through it today and didn't see it. Yeah.
I've been there a couple of times, but I haven't been there since Delgado's four-homer game or anything like that, but I definitely remember seeing Joe Carter stuff for sure.
Well, it's pretty empty there right now, and I thought, well, you got some pull. You got to get some things in there.
Yeah, I got some pull. That's
right.
Nice. Well, I'm sorry that you were disappointed. It's a wonderful museum, and it's a great trip.
It is. Oh, it's an awesome place. Yeah.
What was your favorite part?
Gosh, I don't know. The history, I guess that's what really struck us, was the history of the game. There's just so much, and you could just take all day if you wanted to read every one of those displays. A lot of gloves, a lot of bronze gloves and things like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good place.
You could take a couple of days.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I'm glad you made that trip, and I put it out. Everybody should go to Cooperstown and check out the National Baseball Hall of Fame Museum. It's a wonderful thing. Yep. Drive safe and stuff.
All right.
Thank you for the call, Marv. Appreciate it. I can't remember the last time I was in Cooperstown. It was a long time ago. Might have been 10 years. But I've been down there twice. Jerry Howarth was just there last year to see Roberto Alomar get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Bob Elliott's going this year. And that's going to be pretty awesome. It is the Rain Delay program live here from Target Field in Minneapolis. It is raining reasonably heavily right now here at Target Field. But again, the Tom Young Weather Radar, copyright Tom Young, and Tom Young Enterprises, says that this will be moving out relatively soon. And hopefully we will have baseball tonight. We, again, have been told nothing from the higher-ups here in Minnesota other than the game is officially in a rain delay. I find it very difficult to stop saying we're here in Minnesota because it's the Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Timberwolves, Minnesota Wild, all that stuff. We're in Minneapolis. We're in a state, fine, but I don't say, we're live in Ontario or Rogers Center. I got to get that out of my head. We're in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You've got the Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Lynx, the defending WNBA champions. And I only know that because I saw on the local sports broadcast last night. Tony in London, welcome to the Rain Delay program. Tony's listening on AM 920 in London.
Yes, Mike.
Tony, did you hear me on AM 920 in London this afternoon?
No. AM 920 is in Wingham.
Oh, in Wingham.
But
even better.
The London station's carrying the night playoff game tonight. So
right. Well, I was on CJBK in London earlier this afternoon.
Oh,
hopefully
I
you
didn't
listened
hear it. I'm so sorry, Mr. Mike.
Oh, nuts.
You know, I like to remind people that Minnesota used to have a dome stadium. So
yes, they did, and it was terrible. It was a garbage bag in right field.
But again, those critics of the Rogers Center and the retractable dome, just remember that we wouldn't be, if Minnesota still had, a decent dome, then, or one that they did have, you wouldn't have this right now. So,
here's the thing. You know what? When they built New Yankee Stadium, when they built this place, I thought, what is wrong with you people? You know, there are gorgeous stadia with retractable roofs in Seattle, in Milwaukee, in Houston. You can build a really nice ballpark and still have a retractable roof. Minnesota especially, because it gets so bloody cold here. They're north of Toronto. And to not have a retractable roof, I just thought was a huge mistake. And, we're paying for it a little bit tonight.
And what that does to the schedule, or actually the rotation and the possibility of a doubleheader tomorrow, I'm a longtime baseball fan and a traditionalist. I, I've never liked doubleheaders because it's pretty tough to sweep one. And we might be looking at that tomorrow.
Yeah, we might be looking at that tomorrow. It doesn't look like it, but you never know. And the Blue Jays don't have another day off until May 24th. So what that means is if they do have to play a doubleheader, they're going to need a sixth starter. And that might be Luis Perez or Carlos Villanueva making an emergency start. They might have to dip down to the farm and make a roster move. But they would need another starter on Thursday against the Yankees. So that wouldn't set up particularly well if they have to play two.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's what Reynolds do to you. They mess up your rotation and they weaken your bullpen. And the bullpen could be in a doubleheader. You could really go through that bullpen.
Yep.
And
I'm wrong, by the way. It's Wednesday that they would need an extra starter, not Thursday.
Sure, you'd be
but
using
anyway.
up two or five starters in rotation tomorrow. Hopefully
right.
It won't come to that. And I like to go revisit the Vladimir Guerrero signing. And,
sure.
The idea that nobody really had, were a fifth of the way into the season, and none of the other 29 teams really did give Guerrero a look, although I heard that Cleveland was slightly interested a while back. His role would be strictly as a DH, or would he, because of this snub, let's say, would he accept, I know he can't speak for him, but would he accept a lesser role? And I'm looking at that as, you're going into, in June, you're going to be playing the interleague game, and you need a bat off the bench just one time. And I would really like Guerrero coming off the bench for that one pinch hit. Is that possibly in the back of the mind of the Blue Jays to strengthen that area? Because the interleague play has been dreadful for the Jays throughout their history.
It certainly has. It's been dreadful. You're absolutely right. And maybe that might be something that you could factor in. But once you call him up, he's here for good. Vladimir Guerrero is kind of out of options. You can't send him back down. Whether he's out of options or not, he's got the years in the major leagues. So you can't send him down without his permission, so it wouldn't be just see you for interleague and then see you later. But that's a definite possibility, absolutely. And as far as would he accept a lesser role, look, he accepted a minor league contract with no guarantees of anything. I assume that he fully understands that he's not signed up to go get in shape for 3 weeks and then come back up here and be the full-time DH and cleanup hitter. He knows that's not going to happen. And I assume by signing, Vladimir Guerrero is saying that he's happy to accept any role they give him.
Well, there's very little room in the bench. I don't have to tell you that because you have only four players there. And, of course, one's your reserve catcher in the D-Mathis, and you need a middle infielder. And that leaves only two spots there, and Guerrero would fill one, and he can't play defense anymore. And so you
right.
need a fourth outfielder.
Yep.
So that really doesn't allow you too much room to maneuver. And then we get a little bit of, we like to think a logjam when you're thinking of, the fortunes of Travis Snyder and what he's doing.
Right, but I mean, Travis Snyder is never going to get called up here to be on the bench. So
exactly.
Doesn't factor in. But, you look at, you're absolutely right, those four guys on the bench. And Ben Francisco's got 16 at-bats this year in 33 games. So he's been pretty much a forgotten man by the Blue Jays, and I think that would be the easy fix, that he comes in and Ben Francisco goes out. They haven't used Francisco as a defensive replacement. They haven't used him as anything except a designated hitter. I think he might have had one start in the outfield, which obviously you can't do with Guerrero, but you can do that with Rajay Davis as your fourth outfield. I can't even remember the last time the Blue Jays carried five outfielders. So Vladimir, I think, would just move in there to the Francisco spot. And because he's Vladimir Guerrero, he'd probably be used more often. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate the call. Want to try to get to a few more people. And again, at the top of the hour, as this rain delay continues, we'll hear from Reggie Diehl, who is on a tour of all 30 Major League ballparks in 30 days. And he's doing it by himself, and he's blind. So it would royally blow if tonight's game was rained out for Reggie Diehl's one day here in Minneapolis to see the Twins. So let's hope they can get the ball game in for him, if nothing else. James is in Paisley, listening on sportsnet590.ca. James, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. Go ahead on the Rain Delay Show.
Well, it's sunny and really nice here.
Yeah, come on. I don't want to hear that.
Well, don't rub it in. There, are you?
Yeah, where it's rainy and yuck.
Oh, it's perfect here. Well, actually, the sun's going down now. But the one thing I was curious about was, and I want to get your take on it, was weekday day games.
Yeah.
I just never really understood, you know, like, it'll be like Boston and Toronto, you have the same time zone, and they'll have a 1 in the afternoon Tuesday game.
12:30 when they do it in the weekday.
Yeah, yeah. And can you, like, who can go to that? Like, is this trying to get the people that don't work to come because they can't afford to? And, like, you know,
you
and,
sound
and
like
the
Lee
only
Ilya.
Other way is put it on PBR, which, you know, most TV stations don't want you to, because then you just fast forward through all their commercials.
Well, except the sports is very tough to, you know, it's tough to not find out what happened. Sports is a really tough thing to throw on the Peaver. The reason for the weekday day games is generally always for travel. That was an odd one, that game against the Red Sox at the end of the first series of the season at home, because Boston didn't play the next day, but their home opener was the Friday following, and the Blue Jays weren't traveling. But generally when you see a weekday day game, it's because one or both of the teams has to travel and play another game the next day in another city. Like, the Blue Jays have 3 weekday day games this month. The first one was last Wednesday when they played the Rangers, and they had to play in Anaheim against the Angels the next night. So really not fair to have you play a night game and then fly through the night and then play on the West Coast the next night. Same thing happened 2 days ago. They played in Oakland. And had to have a night game here in Minnesota the next night. So, you know, it's about more than anything else. Not sure why they have a week. They have a weekday day game in Tampa Bay in 2 weeks, followed by a day off, but it's probably because the Rays have to travel. And, they've got a few more over the course of the summer, more than I'm used to seeing.
Yeah,
but that's why they do it, because of the travel.
They can always, they switch schedules up all the time. You know, they change rotation, give guys a break. You see regular guys that, you know, would be better off in the lineup, sitting on the bench, give them a break. Why couldn't they rearrange that a little bit? I mean, it just seems like you see these empty ballparks in the middle of the day, and the amount of money, you know, like that could be generated by an extra 10,000, 20,000 seats if it was a night game.
I don't know. When the Blue Jays were winning championships, all those weekday day games were sellouts. When teams are drawing well, they tend to draw. I don't think there's a drop-off of 10 or 20,000 on those games, but I think you have to remember that these are human beings, and you have to make it fair to them. Take yourself back 2 weeks when the Blue Jays...
Beer.
All right, thanks for the call. Hopefully someone enjoys grabbing you that beer. If you go back 2 weeks... And the Blue Jays play a night game. They get on a plane at midnight, fly through the night 5 hours to the West Coast, and then have to play that night. These are human beings, and you got to take it easy on them every once in a while. Jane is in Halifax, listening on News 95.7. Jane, welcome to the Rain Delay program here in Minneapolis.
Thank you, Mike. I finally able to get in, not this time, but I tried to get in over and over and over, and I didn't. And now, you listen here. They better watch out, because especially Alan, he may lose his job. You're doing a terrific job.
Well, it's very swell of you to say. Thank you. Alan is in no danger, I guarantee you.
But thank you very much. I love your humor as well, and I was really, really pleased to hear my man tonight being interviewed by Jerry. And how I envy those young kids down there getting his autograph. My man, Brett. I mean, I'm a senior. I've been an avid fan since 1977. And I don't know all the statistics or anything, but I love my Blue Jays baseball.
Well, that's wonderful. And yeah, Brett's a terrific kid. So you made a good choice.
Oh, well, it's awesome. I mean, I'm 71. I'll be 71 on Monday. And it's
happy birthday.
Thank you. It just blows my mind for this kid to do this at 22 years old. Now, I don't have a TV, so I can't watch it on TV. But I look at the recaps, and I saw the video of that catch on Wednesday. That catch on Wednesday night where he tore up a little of the turf there.
Yep.
That was outstanding. And I honestly haven't been this excited for a long time about my Blue Jays.
Well, they've given you good reason to be excited.
Oh, yeah.
You should
be.
This is a good team.
And I'm so proud of them and so pleased to be able to talk to you and tell you that. And go, Jays, go.
All right. Thank you, Jane. Appreciate the call. Great to hear from a day one Blue Jays fan. And thank you so much for the kind words. Appreciate it a lot. And again, I'll reiterate, Alan Ashby is in absolutely no danger of losing his job to me. I'm sure he's having a great time on the television side. Anthony is in Toronto listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Anthony, welcome to the Rain Delay program. What you got?
Hey, Mike. I just quickly off the bat, I just want to say I was down a couple years ago as a guest at Jay's Care, and my dad was sick, and you were awesome. Super nice, but it's not why I'm calling. I just want to, in terms of the rotation, the uncertainty around the rotation, we knew Romero and hopefully Morrow were going to pitch well. Alvarez has been awesome. Drabek looks like he's getting it together in his first full season. So what I'm saying is the bullpen's kind of let us down to a certain extent. And I was just wondering, in your opinion, what sort of options do we have to look for people like trade, free agency? Do we just wait for Santos? It's just for a season filled with so much hope and for how good our starting pitching's been so far, is there anything you can see that's either a short-term fix or something that could help in the long term? I'll take it offline, but thanks again. Awesome job.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. No, I mean, obviously there's no free agents. If there were any free agents out there, they'd have been snapped up, I mean, by the Red Sox, if nobody else. They're having a horrible time with their bullpen. I honestly believe that this is a really, really good bullpen. It's the same group that we talked about at the beginning of the season that I think I said was the best bullpen that the Blue Jays have ever put together. And you're right, it's been disappointing, and they've had their hard times. 7 blown saves in the first 30 games of the season is... it's just terrible. But I do believe that this is a very good group and that they're going to be fine. They really are. Santos will be back hopefully by the end of the month, and that'll move everybody back into their regular spot. Darren Oliver's been terrific. Casey Jansen's been terrific. Jason Fraser's been quite good. Luis Perez. The problems have come at the back. Carlos Villanueva has been great. And the problems have come at the back. And it's been really, really disappointing. But there's nothing you can do about that now. It's over. They've blown those 7 saves, and they're not going to get them back. You just hope the rest of the way that they don't blow 7 more. And I think with the talent in the back of that pen, it's a real possibility that they don't blow another 7 saves between now and the end of the season. I'm really confident in this group. I really am. And like you said, it seemed like you were saying to see all this good effort go to waste by the starting pitchers. To an extent, that's true, but on another vein, the Blue Jays are in a playoff spot right now. Even with the 7 blown saves, 2 of those games they've won, they're in a playoff spot right now. So certainly, we're not even close to all is lost. And the fact that really you should only be able to see improvement from this point on, I think that will stand them in very good stead. Thanks for the call. I promised you Reggie Dean, and we will have that for you very shortly. But first thing, Tom Young says that the latest hourly forecast has showers ending by 9 o'clock Central Time, which is an hour from now, 10 o'clock Eastern, which means hopefully we'll be able to get a game in starting around then, and better to sit around and wait for 2 hours tonight and get a game in than to have to play 2 tomorrow. Right now, we continue with the rain delay program. Brendan is here at Target Field. Where are you, Brendan?
I'm out here in the Blue Jays bullpen in left field.
Oh, there you are. I see you waving. Hello, Brendan.
Got my jacket on.
Are you getting wet right now?
Underneath it, I got the Blue Jays. I'm not getting wet yet, but it has been blowing in a little bit. But it's got pretty hard here. Of course, yeah. my whole family's back in Toronto, and I've lived here in Minneapolis for about 6 years now. And I think they missed the Dome tonight, and I think they're missing. I think they're wishing they had a retractable roof here.
No kidding. It looks like where you're standing, you're protected by the giant scoreboard in left field because the rain's coming in that way, keeping you dry. But what do you think of this place, other than the fact that there's no roof?
You know, it's a beautiful ballpark. It's what baseball, it's the kind of field baseball was meant to be played on. It's got a lot of character, a lot of class, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. I think I've heard a lot of positive comments from anyone that's been here to see a game, and the players have a lot of good things to say about the ballpark, too. I mean, with you know, natural grass and an open-air stadium, a really nice design, and that's environmentally friendly, you know, a green-certified, you know, lead-certified stadium. It's a very nice facility, first class.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and it appears as though you'll get to enjoy a ball game tonight, though you might have to wait another hour or so.
Sounds like it. Looking forward to it. I'll be here at all four of them. So.
Me too. Perfect. All right, awesome. Brendan. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And that might be the first time ever that I've actually gotten to see a caller while I was talking to them here on the, whether it's the rain delay program or the Blue Jays talk or whatever it is. It continues to rain, though it is slackened off a little bit, and again we're hearing from Tom Young and his Tom Young Weather Radar from Tom Young Incorporated that the showers are supposed to end in about an hour, so hopefully we will have baseball tonight. We haven't seen the umpires come out and, you know, John Farrell or Ron Gardenhire come out to talk to them. We see the rain falling on the Blue Jays dugout right now. And umbrellas all over the place, and most fans are undercover watching the the White Sox and Kansas City Royals right now on the big giant scoreboard in left field. We're going to step away for a minute. When we come back, more rain delay program. We will hear from Reggie Dean, who is here on his tour of 30 ballparks in 30 days. You're going to love this. And after that, more of your phone calls as the rain delay program continues here on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Target Field in Minneapolis. It is the rain delay program. The Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins hopeful of having baseball tonight. And we're told that this rain is supposed to stop in less than an hour. And hopefully we will have a ball game for you. We will pass along any word we get from the fine folks here at Target Field as soon as we get it. We're taking your phone calls. I love how people are sending me updates on Twitter from other games. Like, I don't have a scoreboard here, but thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm nonetheless. Before we get to some more of your calls, I want to share with those of you along the network a conversation I had earlier tonight with a man named Reggie Dean, who is on one heck of a baseball adventure. Here's our chat. Well, this is pretty cool. We've got Reggie Deal here with us, who is doing a tour of all 30 Major League ballparks in 30 days. The kicker is that he's visually impaired and doing this all by yourself, and it's a thrill to get a chance to talk to you. This is number 13, is that the deal?
Yes, no pun intended. Yeah, number 13 tonight in Minnesota. For those who wonder, I am totally blind, so that I'm totally winging it, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, but... this has been planned out for a while, but yeah, 13 tonight, and I'll actually be in Toronto and meeting a friend actually for that game with the Mets a week from tonight.
Which is, this is fantastic. This whole tour, this is something I've wanted to do, is all 30 ballparks, and at some point I'm hoping to get to check them out. How did this idea come to pass?
To be honest with you, it's something I've wanted to do for a while. Back 15 years ago, when I was finishing college, it was something I thought would be really fun. I honestly never thought I'd get the time or the money to do it. And it was more just a combination of circumstances that worked out. I got married, and because of where we live right now, I gave up my job to be with my wife. We were one of these long-distance eHarmony couples. And so I had the time to do it, and we were looking at seeing if we could find sponsors to help finance it, because Lorna, my wife, has been very enthusiastically supporting it. She's known that's something I've always wanted to do. And then life insurance payment came through last summer that was completely out of the blue and unexpected. And once that happened, I said, is it okay with you if I truly do this? And she's like, yeah, go for it. And so I've actually been planning various itineraries since mid-September when the schedule came out. At one point, I had 9 different variations of schedules put together that eventually were reduced down to 3. And then once the final game times were set, that pretty much locked up what would work best. And so by January 21st, I knew what the itinerary was, and it was just a matter of making everything happen.
With Reggie Deal, who's doing 30 ballparks in 30 days by himself, blind, where do you live, and where did this start?
Afton, Wyoming is home now, although I lived in Texas all my life until last spring. I'm 39 now, so basically I'm a Texan at heart, even though I now currently call Wyoming home with my wife. The ballpark trip began in Texas. I actually went back and caught up with some old friends, and I had a whole group of them join me for the first 2 games at Arlington and at Houston. And then from there it was on to Atlanta, and then the Cardinals and Royals and the Rays. And then before Minnesota tonight, I hit the 6 ballparks on the East Coast. So the 2 in New York, Washington, Baltimore, Philly, and the Red Sox.
It really is amazing. Now, tell us a little bit, like, if we can get into your head, how you're experiencing this. I mean, a sighted person obviously would experience things much more differently than you are, but the differences in the ballparks, being at the ball game, not being able to see. I see that you've got the headphones on, so you're listening to the radio, which is the right way to go about it. We love that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's really, you're relying on everything in the ballpark. And what I tell people is, you know, close your eyes for a minute and just take in everything minus the visual. The crowd will tell you what's happening in certain situations, the way they're going to react, be it something done by a home or visiting player or a call by an umpire, is going to tell you a lot. The announcement of the players in the ballpark, the smell of the ballparks, there's always kind of a uniqueness to that. Yes, there's going to be similarities, but every ballpark has its own personality. It's like you could meet 30 people on the street. In some ways, they will have some similarities. You might meet 20 brunettes, and 15 will have brown eyes, and 5 will have green eyes. You'll meet 10 blondes, and 5 of them might have blue eyes, and so on and so forth. But every person, in a way, is their own unique totality of a package. And that's kind of how I look at ballparks. Yeah, there's going to be things about them that are similar from ballpark A to ballpark B. There's things about the ballparks in Minnesota and Denver and St. Louis that make them similar, but there's also things that make them different. The ballparks in New York both have blue seats. The Nationals Park has blue seats, but the outfield configurations are different. Baltimore is unique in that it has a rubber warning track. It doesn't have a dirt track. So if you look at individual aspects, yes, there's a lot of similarities that you see at most, if not all, ballparks. But when you look at the totality of what each ballpark is, how it's configured, what it's made of, the color, even if I can't see it when someone's describing the color, they're all very much their own entity in their own way. And to me, that's one of the beautiful things about baseball.
With Reggie Deal doing the 30 ballparks in 30 days, blind, solo. And Reggie, we just paused the interview for a second because Tony Olivo came over to say hello. We're obviously, you were talking about warning tracks and outfield configurations. We're on the field right now during Twins or Blue Jays batting practice. What's you're getting a chance to be at all these ballparks and be treated really well, which is fantastic, and get to meet people like that. What was that like, saying hello to Tony Olivo?
Well, That was totally unexpected, but I mean, you're talking about one of the great players in Twins history, and I've, you know, I've had the pleasure in a few, not all, but in a few of the ballparks, I've had a chance to meet some of the players, and it's really interesting. I mean, I had a chance to talk to Joe Mauer here a little while ago. The first game I went to, I was at the Rangers and the Rays at Arlington, and Mike Maddox and Andy Hawkins, who are the pitching and bullpen coaches down there, were on the field, and they said hi. And of course, I have to start talking to Hawkins about his famous 8-inning no-hitter that he lost back 22 years ago.
Don't tell us. Blue Jay fans remember that Jesse Barfield was in the outfield there. We don't want to hear about that.
And I kind of get this, how did he remember that reaction? So it's been interesting, some of the things that have happened along the way. And, you know, I would say the ones I've probably enjoyed the most were getting to actually meet some of the players and some of the former players. I got to talk to Jeff Francoeur and a couple of the Royals down in Kansas City, and it's been a wonderful experience. But the thing I hope everybody takes away from it is that you can enjoy anything in life, no matter what your limitation is. And sure, I can't do things quite the way everybody else does, but I still enjoy the game, and I can explain the game in ways that a lot of my friends can't. And for me, I have a lot of fun in being able to teach people the game. I have two friends who will honestly tell you that they like baseball because I took them to their first baseball game. And a friend of mine in New York I had lunch with before I went to the Yankees game on Wednesday, and she says, I'm going to have to learn about baseball now because seeing you do this is just too cool. I can't not learn about the game. So it's for me, as much as anything, just showing people that you can have a passionate life, go for it. And at the same time, you know, don't let your limitations make you think you can't learn about something new or experience something new. I mean, for me, learning baseball was on the radio 25, 26 years ago. That's how I learned the game. And I fell in love with the game. And as long as I'm alive, baseball is always going to be part of what I do. So
It's amazing, and you remind me of me so much. Baseball geek, we're the same age, growing up around the game. I would have asked Andy Hawkins the exact same thing about losing the no-hitter. So was it Eric Nadell who you grew up with listening to on Rangers radio?
Well, I grew up listening. We lived in Bryan-College Station, so if you look at a map of Texas, it's about 2 hours from Houston, about 3.5 hours from Dallas. And back in those days, of course, most teams were still on a big AM signal, which I think is one of the tragedies of the way baseball broadcasting has changed the last 25 years. But in those days, the Rangers and the Astros were both on big AM signals. And so I got to hear Mark Holt and Eric Nadell do the Ranger games. I got to hear Milo Hamilton, Gene Elston, Jerry Trupiano, and Larry Durker do the Astro games. And at night, sometimes I could pick up some of the other teams from the kind of the Midwestern part of the country. I'd pick up the Royals, the Cardinals, the Cubs when they were playing road night games before they put the lights in at Wrigley. And then, you know, as the 90s come along and the Rockies got their expansion team, I got to hear their broadcasters. And so, you know, before the internet and MLB.com game day stuff, it was all AM radio and listening to those broadcasters at night and just loving the game experience and getting to hear some of those broadcasters during some really dramatic moments throughout the history of the game.
Did you have a favorite broadcaster out of all those signals you picked up?
You know, it's hard to say because there's different things that they would say that, you know, I'd catch myself and I'd play a video game with a friend and one of us would hit a home run and I'd catch myself doing a Mark Holt kiss it goodbye. And you know, but you know, I was always a big fan of Milo. I was always a big fan of Eric. And so it's, for me, it's just like the ballparks. I mean, every guy's got their own style, and some I like more than others. But they all, for the most part, in their own way, are going to make the game very enjoyable. I mean, I listened to Alan Ashby as an Astros broadcaster for a while. And of course, he now does work for you guys. And so, you know, sometimes there might be a game on, and maybe I want to hear the Toronto perspective after I've listened to another broadcaster's perspective using that internet feed, and so I'll flip over to the Blue Jays network and hear his take on what's been happening with the Blue Jays and with whoever they're playing that day. And that, for me, that's just as entertaining because it's, you're getting the different perspective from different viewpoints of the same game.
Reggie, I got to wrap it up, but this has been, like, I could talk to you all night, literally. Can't wait to come back up to Toronto for the game next week. I have to ask you, people are going to want to know, have you been blind since birth, or did you ever get a chance to see the game?
I never got a chance to see really anything. I was born 3 months premature, and that's what actually caused the blindness. They call it retinopathy of prematurity. I've been told that in my very early days I had full function of my eyes, but everything I can remember has been without it. So everything I have experienced, my way of enjoying the game and experiencing all this, has been the way it's always been. So,
all right. Well, it's a thrill to meet you. It's amazing that busting down the barriers, doing this all by yourself over 30 days. Thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to seeing you next week in Toronto.
Well, thank you, and I'll just add one quick thing. For those who do wonder, I have met some friends at some games, but the count right now is 16 or 17 out of the 30 that it'll just be me. So I'm not alone the whole time, but it's an adventure.
It sure is, and thanks for sharing some of it with us.
Thank you.
That's just an amazing story and a great guy to talk to, and I had a blast with him. Reggie Deal, who is blind and, yeah, maybe not by himself at every game, but the travel plans, getting in and out of cities, all that stuff, he's doing all by himself. And it's pretty overwhelming for someone who's not dealing with the extra added pressure of not being able to see. So an amazing trip, and again, we will see him in Toronto and wish him luck on the rest of this journey and hope that he gets to see a ball game tonight. And I think he will. We're led to understand that the rains are probably going to stop soon. Within the next 30 or 40 minutes, they, for some reason, I don't know why they always play this song, CCR, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Very obviously, we're all seeing it right now. Why would they not play Who'll Stop the Rain? I think that would be a lot more appropriate because... Well, we want the rain to stop. But the grounds crew has come out, and they're squeegeeing off the tarp. So all the standing water, it's being pushed out into the outfield where the drainage system will take care of it. So one hopes that they're doing this in anticipation of removing the tarp very shortly and giving us baseball. It is still raining, but it's not raining very hard right now here in Minneapolis. We have been in a rain delay for an hour and 11 minutes. The Blue Jays and the Twins still waiting to get their game started. And when the Blue Jays are in a rain delay, we do the rain delay program, and we invite your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Many of you have been waiting and gotten the chance to hear that conversation with Reggie Deal while you were waiting. And now we'll head back to the phones. Rain delay program means the floor is yours. Whatever you want to talk about. Matt is in North Bay listening on 600 AM CKAT. Matt, welcome to the rain delay program. What did you think of that interview?
Oh, that was pretty interesting. That's something
yeah, good stuff,
I want to do
huh?
The same thing, man. That sounds awesome. If I ever win $50 million on Lotto Max tonight, you know, I'm quitting my job and I'm following the Jays for the rest of the season.
I think I might have forgotten to buy a Lotto Max ticket before I left on this road trip. So just watch. Uh-oh. My numbers are going to come up tonight.
Yeah,
that'll
well,
be great.
If I win and I meet up with you, I'll buy you a couple of beers.
All right. You're
okay,
on.
What I wanted to ask you about was Travis Snyder. I know he got hurt there a little while ago. Is he back playing? Or?
Yeah, he's back. He's only been back for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So he's kind of working his way back, and it's a wrist thing, and so he's had lots of problems with that wrist before. It may take a while until he's back Travis Snydering it up, but we'll definitely be keeping an eye on it, keeping you guys posted too.
Yeah, the other quick question I had was, is he going to be, are they looking to move him at all, or are they going to hold on to him for a while?
Oh, I don't think there's any reason to move him. You know, he's still under control for a good long time. He's still got an option left. this year, so you can have him in the minor leagues all year this year. And remember, he's just a kid. I think he's only 23 years old. So,
I realize that. I'm not giving up on him or nothing, but I just
change
of scenery might help him do what he does in AAA in the big league.
While the Blue Jays aren't, you know, really interested in giving him that change of scenery to help somebody else, right?
Yeah.
They want him to help them. I think what's important to remember about Travis Snyder is that if he was with another organization and his story was the same, this first round pick who'd gotten a taste of the big leagues and done really well and then kind of gone back and forth and not been able to really hit his stride, you know, he'd be exactly the kind of player that the Blue Jays would be interested in acquiring.
Yeah.
You know, like that Colby Rasmus type, like the Yunel Escobar, Brandon
Jose
Morrow.
When they got him.
Who?
Even like Joey Bats when they brought him in.
Troy Gloss?
He's kind of Batista.
Oh, Jose Batista. Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear that. But yeah, exactly. Those kinds of guys. And so, you know, this is someone that they would really be trying hard to acquire. So it's not someone who they're going to be trying to move.
Okay.
I really think that they're going to the good things are going to happen for Travis Snyder, and that they're going to happen in Toronto.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I love him. I want to keep him here. So.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call and appreciate this a tweet from @ChiuPhoto. Because Brett Laurie and Ricky Romero are twittering to each other about how terrible the rain delay is. And @ChiuPhoto has tweeted to Brett Laurie and Ricky Romero, if it's so bad in the rain delay, call into the Blue Jays talk. And he gave the phone numbers. So if we get a Brett from Minnesota or a Ricky, then we'll stick them to the front of the line, I think, here on the Blue Jays talk. Ron Sandelli is the Blue Jays Director of Security. A finer man has never been built. And he has just said to me he believes 9 o'clock we're going to get this thing started. So 35 minutes, 9 o'clock Central start time. We will be playing baseball here in Minnesota. We are going to rain delay show it up until that point in time. Back to the phones. The floor is yours. Daniel in Toronto listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome to the rain delay program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man?
I am doing quite well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. I had a question regarding minor league affiliates and their relationship with the major league team.
Sure.
I was trying to book a trip, I guess, this weekend to go to Lansing to see the Lugnuts play. And I was wondering, it sort of got me to thinking, why don't major league teams, and I don't know if they do this or if they've ever done it, but why don't they ever have sort of their minor league affiliates come to the major league stadium, especially when the proximity is so close, and play a weekend or a series through the week, especially when you got a team, you've got, you know, Nicolino, Sanchez, Syndergaard. I mean, how often would it be to, you know, be living in Toronto and just go see those guys play? Even if you had it, you know, if the Jays were playing a week series at night, you could have them come in during the day, have like a doubleheader, something like that. I don't know.
It's an interesting thought, and I'm not aware of which major league teams actually do that. I do think there are some who do. You know, the Red Sox with Pawtucket and stuff like that, and maybe even just for a game here and there. It would be cool. I think it would, and I think that if the Blue Jays do wind up, and we had this conversation earlier in the program, wind up moving their minor league, the AAA affiliate to Buffalo, I think, you know, maybe part of the Bills in Toronto thing and some sort of cooperative crossover that way, we might see the Bisons play a series in Toronto or a game in Toronto or something like that, and I think it would be very cool. It's an excellent point.
It just seems like a great way to get the fans. I mean, especially I've noticed a lot the last year, you get a lot of the younger fans. A lot of people seem to be coming back to the Jays. They're more excited about the young team, and the system is so loaded that you've got these future, you know, hopefully future star guys, and to see them when they're, you know, at their 19, 20 year old, you know, peak, and you know, in a couple of years they come up and you can say, I remember seeing this guy play, you know, Lansing when they were playing Dayton or whoever they were playing at the Rogers Center. I just think it's a sort of almost like a missed opportunity in a way that they don't do it.
I think, though, that you're you have a little too much faith in the fan base. I don't think. I don't
well,
think
I mean,
that,
but I mean, how many
that
fans
there would be.
Get,
yeah, you're right.
To a Lansing game, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
Not like they're selling out 20,000 and then they come to the Rogers Center and only 1,000 would go. And I'm sure they could, you know, there's some arrangement that the Jays could make with Lansing and say, you know what, just bring them here. Whatever, they can try it out if they get 2,000 fans. I mean, I know a lot of Jays fans who are really into the prospect that would go to the game just from people that I know, not thousands of them, obviously, but I mean, there's got to be more fans that would be interested in something like that, especially if it was promoted properly.
I wonder if a Lansing game would draw 10,000 people to Rogers Center, or if it would be closer to 3,000 or 4,000 people. But
I don't
think that's a reason not to do it.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I've never been to Lansing. I doubt their stadium holds more than 3,000 or 4,000 people anyway.
No, but it, you know what? It costs a lot of money to bring them there and to run Rogers Center for such a small crowd, too. But it's an excellent idea. And, you know, I know a lot of the Blue Jays people listen to this program. So here's hoping that they're listening to it. And you know what? If they do it, maybe they'll call it the Daniel series. So because it was your wonderful idea.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Kyle Drabek is walking out to the Blue Jays bullpen right now. And Nick Blackburn is walking out to the Twins bullpen. The announcement has just been made that first pitch is scheduled for 9 o'clock Central Time, which is 10 o'clock Eastern Time, which is 30 minutes from right now. The tarp is being removed from the field. We will have baseball. The Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins are going to get this thing going in half an hour. We are going to step aside for a couple of minutes. When we come back, more of your phone calls. The rain delay program continues. Blue Jays and Twins going to play some baseball. We are half an hour away from first pitch on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Target Field in Minneapolis, where the tarp is in the process of being removed from the field. And we will have baseball tonight. First pitch scheduled for 9 o'clock local time, which is 10 o'clock Eastern time. Kyle Drabek is warming up right now, doing his stretches out in front of the Blue Jays bullpen. J.P. Arencibia warming up inside the Blue Jays bullpen with a bullpen catcher Alex Andriopoulos. Nick Blackburn getting set as well in center field. And soon the pitchers will move into the bullpens and get themselves going. The tarp is still on the field, but all the sandbags and stuff are off, and they're getting ready to remove it. The rollers back out to roll it up, and starting to look like a baseball game, which is great. First pitch now, 25 minutes away. As we work our way towards that, we continue with the rain delay program. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. I understand a couple of our affiliates were going to join the game in progress because of playoff junior hockey. So hopefully if you're listening on the Fan 960 in Calgary, CJBK in London, we'll be able to get you the entire game, which is wonderful. And we're happy to work overtime to bring you these ball games, even when we have to wait to get them started. Let's get back to the phones. John is in Midtown Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John, welcome aboard.
Thank you. So watching that game last night, I don't think our team as bad as Minnesota since the 62 Nets. As I was a young lad, and I never forget when Maury Wills laid a punt down and the catcher picked it up, threw it over the first baseman's head. And the left fielder, as Maury ran around the bases and headed in, picked up the ball and threw it 10 rows into the stand.
Probably would have been the right fielder, but that sounds
pretty awful.
The
right fielder, yeah. It was awful. And all I remember was Keith Single taking a bunch of bats and throwing them at him. It was so frustrating.
Well, here's the thing.
I thought of Garhouse last night, and I thought, this guy has the patience of Job not to blow up.
Well, and we don't know. You know what? It's the first Twins game I've seen all year, and it's.
I've seen a couple online, and
I'm sure they haven't been that bad all year long.
They've made all sorts of mental errors, not physical errors, but like throwing to the wrong base,
and because I'm a huge, I was a huge Justin Morneau fan, and I just, you know, it's really disappointing to watch as his career has sort of collapsed injury. Yeah. Anyways, I'll go.
Let's hope that the Twins keep this up for at least three more days, and then they
absolutely, absolutely. Have a nice night.
All right, thanks, Gord. Appreciate it. It was a horrible display last night. Joe Mauer is now running out to the bullpen, and he's going to warm up Nick Blackburn, and we are 23 minutes away from baseball. If they do start on time at 9 o'clock Central Time, then it will have been a 1 hour and 50-minute rain delay before getting this thing started. Bert is in Vancouver. Bert is on the listening on Team 1410. Welcome to the rain delay program.
Yeah, thank you. You're getting some good old Vancouver weather there.
Yeah, no kidding. You guys can have it.
No thanks. We've had enough. question about, I'm an old-time baseball lover. Where's the pitcher's windup gone? The old Juan Marichal, Bob Gibson guys.
Paul Bird is the last guy I ever saw do that. That kind of double pump and then into the whole windup thing.
Exactly.
I don't know why they don't do it anymore. I guess modern science has found that it's more efficient to do it the way they do it now.
Less mechanical.
I guess the fewer moving parts, the fewer things that can go wrong.
But you'd think the moving parts would give you more momentum.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know how much of it is momentum and how much of it is just pure strength and just the way that, the muscle movement and I don't know if you need to get like a big running start going before you throw the ball.
Right. Yeah, this ain't cricket. One other move I think that the Jays have done, which has taken a lot of pressure, is moving Lind out of that four spot to the eight spot.
I think that it had to be done, right? He I don't know if it had to be done all the way to eight, but he certainly wasn't producing enough to be at the top of the lineup or in the middle of the lineup, and it was definitely the right move. Give yourself a chance to have more offense until he comes out of it.
A lot of pressure in that four spot. Some guys just don't handle it.
Well, and I don't think it has to do with that. I think it has more to do with just the fact that he's not hitting well. And it's not to say that he would be hitting well if he was batting third or batting fifth or anything like that. It's less about, to me, about the spot in the lineup. It's just the fact that things haven't been going well for Adam Lind since last July.
Yeah, hopefully they can only improve. Loving your broadcast and enjoying the Jays.
Thank you very much, Bert. Appreciate the call. Very exciting. We're going to have baseball, and it just got really cold, by the way. In the last, like, 2-3 minutes, and maybe that's part of the front pushing the rain out and all of that stuff, but it just got really, really cold here at Target Field. There's no temperature up on the scoreboard to fill you in on, so I can't tell you how much it just dropped, but it did. Jason in Toronto. Jason, you are on the rain delay program. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm gonna call a baseball game tonight. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, fantastic. You've been doing a great job, and hopefully you'll be doing it for many more years to come.
I hope so. Wow, would that ever be something? Thank you.
Yeah. Quick comment before my question. I thought that interview was absolutely fantastic there with Reggie.
That Reggie was fantastic. That's the thing.
Yeah, Reggie was fantastic. And I have a book for him that I'd like you to recommend to him. And There Was Light. If you can pass that on to him, he will love it. I've done some research in acoustic ecology, and that's a fantastic read for him, and it's in Braille as well.
Do me a favor and remind me next week, because I'll see him in Toronto. I see him again tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but do it next Friday.
Okay, will do. My question to you is with regards to these Philly and Jays trade rumors that are swirling around. Do you have any goods for us?
Yeah, there's nothing to it.
Nothing at all?
No, nothing at all. It's no more than Alex Anthopoulos doing his due diligence, which he does all the time. He's always in contact with all the other teams across the major leagues because he doesn't want a deal to be made and him not know about it or not have been able to get in on it.
Sure.
So I'm quite confident that, you know, we know with Alex Anthopoulos, if you hear a rumor, it's not happening. If you hear that something's done or about to be signed or like that, then, yeah, that's probably real. But if you hear a rumor, forget it. In my mind, all it is, and I know that a lot of people talked a lot about it today, all it was Anthopoulos calling Ruben Amaro and saying, look, when the time comes, if you're thinking about moving Cole Hamels, if you're thinking about moving Shane Victorino, make sure you talk to me, because I don't want you trading those guys without giving me a shot at them, and I'll be able to beat whatever offer you get. So I really believe that's all there is to it. No names were exchanged, no negotiations going on. Just make sure you keep me posted and don't trade those guys without talking to me.
Sure, yeah, it got the wheels turning because I thought there may have been more to that Vlad signing than met the eye, and it kind of started to make sense if they were looking to add some more pieces and maybe get rid of a few that were in place now.
No,
so,
and trades like that don't get made in early May anyway. The only major player I can remember getting traded this early in a season was Mike Piazza when he got traded from the Dodgers to the Marlins. It just doesn't happen. And the Phillies, there's no way they're in give-up mode yet. They went into today 5.5 games out of first place in the National League East. They're winning tonight. So I think it's going to be a long time until the Phillies decide that they're going to break up their ball club. The deadline, if even then. So I wouldn't get too excited about Cole Hamels or Shane Victorino or any Phillies becoming Blue Jays in the very near future.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the input. I will definitely send you that info.
Yeah, please do. Thank you, and I'll pass that along. Appreciate the call. We go to Harold in Ancaster. Harold is listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Rain Delay Program.
Well, thank you. Congratulations on your play-by-play, and how much fun is this for you tonight? Like, you get to do pre-game, post-game, play-by-play. You got the whole thing going on.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? This is awesome.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be really, really great. But
I haven't eaten anything, but that's all right.
And I really enjoyed that interview with Reggie because the amount of courage it takes for that young man to do all that traveling and everything on his own, and it's amazing that he would have the courage to do that.
Yeah, give me your perspective on that, Harold. I'd like to know what goes into not even necessarily a trip like this, but doing any kind of multi-city travel.
Well, actually,
by yourself.
I only lost my eyesight in 1996. So prior to that, I had eyesight, and I'll tell you what, I have the greatest respect for many of the blind people that I've met, and it's amazing the way that they handle themselves. After I lost my eyesight, I was nervous about being in crowds. Especially at sports events, because I'm a Tiger Cat fan, of course, going to the games at Iverwind Stadium, and especially against the Argos, and you just never knew what was going to go on in the stands. So it can be kind of scary. So it does take a lot of courage to be aware of what's going on around you.
And absolutely.
I have great respect for that young man.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. He was a real pleasure to talk to, no question about it. Thank you, Harold. Harold referring to the interview we just played at the top of the hour with Reggie Diehl. The Blue Jays have come out into the dugout. John Farrell himself is taking a towel to the little padding the protective screen in front of the Blue Jays dugout, wiping it off so he can lean on it. Don Wakamatsu just put up the lineup cards. It is the same as we thought before the game. and the first pitch is going to fly in about 13 minutes. We'll take your calls for a little while longer. Philip is in Wasega, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Philip, welcome to the Rain Delay Program.
Hello. Thanks, Mike. A couple of questions on stats for you. When calculating a pitcher's earned run average.
Yes.
If the pitcher commits the error, is that
still
held against
unearned
the pitcher?
Run. No. A pitcher and pitcher as a defensive player are two separate things. So once he lets go of the ball, he's just the same as the other eight fielders on the field of play. If he makes an error and that leads to a run being scored, that run's unearned.
Okay. Second question on slugging percentage.
Yes.
If a hitter hits into a double play, does they get a base subtracted?
No. No, it's total bases over outs. You don't get penalized an extra out on your batting average because there happened to be a runner on base when you hit a ground ball. I mean, if there wasn't anybody on, it would just be one out. So why should the fact that your teammate did something good count against you?
Okay. Well, just that you took a base away because your hit was... Is there any batting statistic that accounts for hitting into double plays?
Just... hitting into double plays.
Okay, just
that's the only one.
And if I may be permitted, one.
Sure, one more. Why not?
Adam Lind had his big year when he was the DH, and Edwin Encarnacion had his big year when he went into DH. Why don't we put Adam Lind back into DH?
I wonder how much, if anything, that has to do with it. And I wonder too. If you made Lynn the DH for a couple of weeks and put Edwin out at first base for a couple of weeks, if anything would happen. It's an interesting thought.
The comment was made that when Edwin didn't need to worry about his fielding, that he was able to concentrate on hitting.
The counter to that is that Edwin was really embarrassing himself as a fielder, and Adam Lynn certainly hasn't done that. I don't think, you know, I think playing third base really got in Edwin's head. I don't think playing first base got in Adam Lind's head. But, I mean, I guess it would be kind of a desperation move.
Yeah.
But if it keeps up with Lind to the point where you don't know what else to do with him, maybe that's something you should try.
If he's got it in him, it's just bottle up. How do you let it loose? Just a thought.
It's an interesting thought. Thank you, Philip. I appreciate the call very much. We got time for a couple more callers before we got baseball for you here in Minneapolis. Eddie is in Fort Erie listening on his television on Channel 904 on Rogers Digital Cable. Eddie, go ahead.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
I continue to be good, thank you.
Well, I want to talk about the Victorino Hamill situation. I know
there's no situation.
No, I know, but like the story, I mean.
Okay.
I know everyone's been saying that's just a rumor and things like that, but what happens if it goes nearer to the time where they might make that trade? What I'm thinking is, if the Blue Jays wanted to get those two guys, what if they would put in Adam Lind, Colby Rasmus, a minor league pitcher, for both Hamels and Victorino.
Would you make that trade if you were the Phillies?
If I'm doing pretty bad, like they are right now, like I'm not saying it's going to happen right away, but if you're going to give everybody up, I would.
Would you not want more than that for just Hamels alone?
Well, I say Victorino because he gets on base a lot.
No, but I'm saying if you're the Phillies, would you not want more than that in return for even just for Hamels?
He's a free agent, right?
Yep.
Probably, yeah.
Right, you got to look at it from their perspective. I don't think you could get Cole Hamels and Shane Victorino. I mean, obviously it depends on who the minor league pitcher is.
I know the Blue Jays have a deep farm system. I know that
they've
much.
Got a lot of very good pitchers. It's true in the minors.
Yeah, and I heard that when Guerrero signed with the Blue Jays, Adam Lind might be the odd man out if Guerrero makes the team, right?
No, there's no chance of that.
Okay.
No, I think if Vladimir Guerrero makes the team, the odd man out is more than likely Ben Francisco and not Adam Lind. Although a trade is certainly an option, but Adam Lind is really at the bottom of his value right now. You're not going to get nearly as much for him as you would if you wait him out. And if you really want to trade him, if you wait him out until the bat starts to come around.
But if you're in a position to win,
yeah,
you're in a play in a pennant race, I would make that trade for those two guys.
Oh, I would make that trade too, but I don't think the Phillies would. So that's the problem. Appreciate the call, Eddie, and I appreciate all the calls. Thank you all so much. A great 2 hours of the rain delay program almost, and we are almost ready for baseball. We will have the starting lineups and the first pitch a little later than we thought. When we come back, it is the Blue Jays Radio Network.